Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest today on Let's Face the Issues is La Sierra Maslin. La Sierra is running for the Florida House District 14 in this election year. She's running from a Christian candidate, no party affiliation perspective. And just before the break, we had touched on the fact that our governor has just signed the heartbeat bill that I'm thankful for. The heartbeat bill, making it illegal to commit a murder by way of abortion after 15 weeks of gestation. However, I personally feel, La Sierra, that should be time the heartbeat is heard. In fact, you may recall in 2019, a former representative from District 1 in the state of Florida, Mike Hill, had introduced the heartbeat bill, and the Speaker of the House at that time wouldn't even allow it to go into committee or subcommittee, and it was the Republicans that blocked the heartbeat bill in 2019. And so I'm thankful that it passed, at least with a modicum of help for those that are looking at the murder by way of abortion as being unbiblical, of which it is in the state of Florida. So if you have any further comments on that, because I've got several other things that we need to talk about today in relationship to what is taking place presently in the House and the Senate in the state of Florida and your position on them. But elaborate, why do you think a heartbeat bill is necessary in the state of Florida? And do you feel it's something that should be passed in legislatures across America? And even with the Supreme Court now entertaining whether or not Roe versus Wade needs to be overturned.
Yes, sir. I completely agree with you. I would seek to abolish abortion, make it completely obsolete. I believe the Oklahoma governor just put in something in place just to basically obsolete abortion in his state. So that would be my desire, and that would be what I would be creating and voting on laws toward. I mean, we can't continue to just shed innocent blood and not think that we're not going to reap the repercussions of that. I really believe that people, most folks feel this way, but they're afraid to take a stand. They're afraid to speak against it. And guess what the Word of God says? You're just as guilty when you do not step forward and say what thus said the Lord.
Amen.
You're just as guilty of it, and it means that you're doing it likewise. And see, I refuse to take part in that. So again, I will seek to abolish abortion and just completely make it obsolete in Florida.
Absolutely. I would be in total agreement with that. One of the things that is so onerous and so sad in the state of Colorado, they have just passed legislation that makes the state of Colorado the abortion headquarters for the nation, that they are trying to get ahead of the Supreme Court's potential vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. And so the state of Colorado, the homosexual governor, the gay governor, as he's called, said that it would be the haven for those seeking abortion, that any time from start of a birth of a baby or the gestation of a child up until the day of delivery, that baby can be murdered by way of abortion in the state of Colorado. And so I'm praying that states like Florida and other states will pass heartbeat laws and totally ban or outlaw ultimately anything that's called abortion. It's simply murder. Lassiere, do you agree with the governor signing the House Bill 1557? That's the one that's a parental rights bill where it prevents the LGBTQ sodomite agenda from being taught kindergarten through the third grade. Should it have been, should the law have been that which would pass it from kindergarten through high school? Or do you think it was sufficient just kindergarten through the third grade? What is your position on that? And what is your stand on that? If you are in office, how would you stand on that in the future?
I would absolutely. I agree. I appreciate what Governor Ron DeSantis did on behalf of the kindergartners in third grade. And I appreciate what he could do and, what he's done. But my thing is this. What about the fourth graders to 12th grade? Mm-hmm. Do we just leave them behind? Are we no longer thinking of them? Are we no longer considering their lives and the detriment that they're being exposed to even right now, even as we're speaking? They're in classrooms right now being basically tortured with this mess. They're being sexualized. So I have a major problem. I get very emotional when I'm thinking about this because our kids are our future. And if we don't fight for the innocent, then what are we really even doing with ourselves? I would seek to have, obviously, this be banned throughout every person that's a minor. So that would be kindergarten throughout high school until they graduate, right? That would be my thinking. That would be what I would be making some noise about when I'm in office, is getting this law to be, expanded throughout all of our children. Just like the gentleman mentioned earlier when he called in, no one is discussing their sexual encounters. Even as an adult, no one's having those conversations with another adult. So why is it that we're trying to engage with our children with this mess and with this foolishness? And you answered that question, Dr. Youngblood. But this is a major problem for me. The Word of God says, when you leave, don't even leave a crack for the enemy to come in. Don't even leave any room for him to do what he needs to do or what he is he's created to do. We have left a crack by allowing our fourth graders to 12th grade to be basically exposed to demonic forces and be sexualized and to turn into little just be exposed to things that where they're going to be completely torn apart, and it's just going to increase what has been going on in our system and in our government and in our world, in our nation, just where they are just being exposed, torn apart. Depression is going to go up. Suicidal rates are going to go up. So we're just basically entertaining what the enemy will have us to do.
Yes, and you touched on it last year, those that go through the sexual dysphoria and then wind up with the push, as Joe Biden and others from the White House right on down through most of the state houses are pushing for the open sexual transition surgery. In fact, there's a push now through the Joe Biden administration to force physicians to do transitional surgeries at the behest and the whim of the federal government. And 42% of those that go through that, 42% of those that go through those transitional surgeries wind up committing suicide. 42% is a pretty heavy number. And Lassiere, one of the things that you perhaps, and I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that in the state of Florida with the Senate bill, the House Bill 1557 that the governor signed, which is the parental rights bill, that prevents that from the kindergarten through the third grade. It started out with either the 12th grade, then the 10th grade, the 8th grade, and then had to be reduced to the third grade because the Republicans had the authority in the House and the Senate to pass the bill that would be blanket for kindergarten through high school. They did not. And it's because of failing to be the leaders that we have elected them to be that will be obedient to God. Lassiere, I see it on the basis that God ordained civil government, and he did. And in his ordination of civil government, the civil government leaders, i.e. the elected Republicans or Democrats, the elected ones from the House and the Senate, whether it's state house, local house, or the capital or the nation, they're responsible to God. And I see there being a major, major factor in this, that multitudes of them, and once they're elected, they're concerned about making the lobbyist happy, making the agenda happy, and most of those in Tallahassee, both sides of the aisle, in my most humble opinion, receive funds from the LGBTQ sodomite agenda and the Planned Parenthood agenda that prevented them from being able to take a stalwart stand against the sexualization of our kids and the demoralization of the kids' minds in our public schools in the state of Florida. La Sierra, hold on for a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, this is Derby.
Yes, Derby.
Okay, I have two questions for your guest. First one is, why doesn't she run as a Republican? I think that she has a better chance of being elected as a Republican than as an independent. Too many people in Jacksonville are not well informed on politics, and they would just vote for you as a Republican rather than an independent that seldom ever gets any voting from the public. They never win the election. So that's the question. Run as a Republican, I'm asking her, and then the second question after she answers this one.
All right, let's hear, if you would, answer that question for Derby.
Okay, well, yes, sir. I appreciate your question, sir. I understand what the statistics may say. I get, you know, running for Republican would be the better outcome, potentially, you know, per statistics and that sort of thing and per our opinion. But see, the understanding that I also have is that the Word of God supersedes what we think. The Word of God says, my thoughts are above your thoughts. My ways are above your ways. So I serve the God of the impossible. And I believe that sometimes we, you know, we go about our Christian life daily and we just kind of sometimes not on purpose, but we begin to put God on the level where we are. And see, I keep God high and lifted up. So although, and I love the fact that, you know, this is what we would call maybe a uphill battle or something that would count against me, because I really do believe that the Lord is going to show up and he's going to show out on my behalf. We will see the glory of God because he still is doing marvelous things on our behalf, whether we acknowledge them or not. So he, again, as I mentioned earlier, this wasn't the intent necessarily. It was to run as a Republican, but because the way certain things went, the Lord has now has me in the NPA role, and he has opened up so many doors. It has allowed me to have so much favor. I have a game plan that the Lord has already given me. He's revealed to me what I need to do and how to go about making sure the public is aware who I am and how to vote. So I just ask that you, if you're in my district, vote for me. Get the word out. Let everyone know along with myself. And then just let us sit back and watch how God works all things together for my good.
Amen. Derby, I believe you have a second question.
And the second question is, what is her position on affirmative action?
All right, LaSierra, go ahead.
Well, on affirmative action, my thing is with this, is that it's back to the Word. What the Word of God says, that's what, in fact, what we should be doing. There needs to be an accountability to those of them that are in office to, first and foremost, do what the Constitution has backed up, has already written out. We have it so easy where the Constitution is basically spelling things out for us, where we just somehow we take on our own opinions and our own suggestions, and we need to stick with that. Because even if a person is not familiar with what Scripture has said, we can stick with the Constitution and things won't fail us. Things won't go downhill.
All right. Well,
okay, my point is that affirmative action is not in the Constitution. It was an executive order by President Lyndon Johnson. And affirmative action is nothing more than discrimination against the white males. So you should treat everybody equally and not give a special treatment to those who are not white males.
That's a good subsection of that. LaSierra, I think that I know your stand on that, but would you articulate that for our listeners?
Sure, absolutely. I understand what you're referring to. Oh, right back, as I say, the Lord doesn't see. When I say the Word of God, I guess I'll go a little bit more in Scripture. The Word doesn't talk about race at all.
Right.
It only
right.
sees human race. So let me just be very clear with that. He sees human race. So that's what I go back to. So, of course, I'm not for racial divide and, you know, what color is better than the other and white privilege and white supremacy. I'm not with that. I see, just like the Word of God says, I see everyone as a human race that was born and created in the image of God.
Amen. And if I could put a little footnote to that, La Sierra, so that I could clarify that for not only for Derby, for our listeners, as you said, there's only one race, and that's the human race. When you get into the race divide that has been started by Barack Hussein Obama, it's being exacerbated, continued now by Sleepy Joe Biden. It's dividing our nation, and I don't think there's anything that ought to be done in relationship to whether it is work, employment, paycheck, etc., that should be based on skin color. However, we just watched a Supreme Court justice, because she's female and because she's black, the mindset was we've got to vote for her, and it was pushed through on that basis, which is antithetical to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and it was absolutely antithetical to what we ought to do constitutionally, but it was done, and it was not questioned for, in the most part, because the mindset is, if it is white or black issue, we need to be silent, and that's where we're watching the destruction, the absolute evisceration of our foundations today taking place. And so, Derby, I believe that you and I and La Sierra is on the same page with that, and knowing her position, it ought not to be hiring or firing based on skin color, but based on ability. That's what God sees, and that's what ought to be done in society in which we're living in today.
But let it be known that Katanji was given the job because of affirmative action and no other reason, period.
That's right. I agree. Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your call. La Sierra, I am thankful that you're willing to face these difficult questions, because most would want to sidetrack them rather than facing them head on. La Sierra, tell us your position on the governor's position in the state of Florida in relationship to illegals coming into the state of Florida. He's taken about the same position that the governor in Texas. If you come to Florida, we don't want you, and we're going to bus you back to Delaware, to D.C. How should our governor, how should governors across America take or respond to the illegal acts, and that's what it is, the illegal acts of our president by opening the southern borders and then allowing these to come in and not have to adhere to policies, procedures, and the rule of law to come in properly. What is your opinion? How do you stand? And when you are elected, how will you stand as an elected leader on the influx of illegals coming into America?
My hat's off to that governor who sent all of those illegals, buses of illegals, to D.C.
Yes.
That was great. That was phenomenal. I would love to see what DeSantis comes up with as far as that. I know he has recruited a lot of police officers and things like that. And of course, he's obviously not standing for the illegals just being dropped off in our state. The way I would vote is this. We would need to, first of all, create a law to prevent these illegals from coming into our state. There needs to be folks on the front lines. I'm not sure. It's been said that, you know, illegals are coming in, you know, in the midnight hour on planes, and they're just being dropped off in the middle of the night. That will take some thinking about on how we could recover from that and how we could prevent that from happening. But my goal would be totally to obviously come against that. They have been telling us that they can get driver's licenses and just, you know, wherever they want to be, you know, free of charge and without any questions asked. So that would be where I would begin, you know, putting up some roadblocks, putting up some walls to prevent those type of activities.
Absolutely. Well, Lassier, I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that when they're allowed to cross the border, they then are transported by bus at taxpayers' expenses to different border states and cities and dumped out. Then from there, they are given tickets to get on planes and trains to go across America. And in the envelopes that you see them carrying when they get off the bus, and that we just noticed in D.C., in that envelopes, their authorization, their paperwork to let them travel as though they're a citizen. They are given $1,500 cash. Now they're given cell phones that they can call anybody at the taxpayer's expense, cell phones, etc. Those getting off the buses that were just taken there by a bus from Texas, they're immediately getting on trains and, quote, headed to Miami, Florida. And so mm-hmm. I'm in agreement with you. There needs to be something done. And I believe each of our states have the power to create laws that will prevent that in the states. Lassiere, because of our time, I want to ask you a couple of other quick questions. What is your position on House Bill 7065, just signed by the governor? The governor called it the Responsible Fathers Act. What does that say? What does it do? And why is it important?
Yes, absolutely. So about $80 million have been dispersed to the Department of Children and Families, as well as Department of Juvenile Justice, to identify needs of, dually involved children that are in need. This is allowing fathers to be included. They are utilizing these funds to nonprofit organizations that are supposed to be implementing good ideas and mentorship programs to assist our fathers in the prenatal process, just, creating programs where they're able to guide their children and just, learn how to be good, successful parents. I thought this was a phenomenal bill that he passed and that, they created. He also gave the Responsible Fatherhood Month of the month of June. So I thought that was something that was very interesting and something that is so vital and needed in our communities. I always think about what the Word of God talks about, how the family was the first institution that he created and how it plays a vital role in the success of our nation. So it's crucial. Fathers are needed. A lot of this stuff is happening because it's fatherlessness in the homes. We have no men spearheading their homes properly. They're not being led by the Holy Spirit on how to guide their wife and their children, how to rear them, and even how to provide. So this was a definite step up. I would love to see how these different organizations, what programs and things that they come up with, and then hear the success stories from it.
As I understand that bill, 7065, and the material in it, and I've not examined mm-hmm. it word for word, but I have scanned the bill, and what mm-hmm. it does, in essence, is it requires the fathers to be involved in the home, mm-hmm. so that it's not just a matter of a government check going to a home where fathers mm-hmm. have abandoned, or where there are kids being born out of wedlock and there's no fathers in the home, and it will help stem the tide with the fatherless homes and reduce the cost from the government standpoint of having to continue to pay for kids being brought up in a home where they're transient or no fathers at all. So I think it will bring into focus more of what would be called faith and family that's required mm-hmm. biblically. And so I'm thankful to see it as a starting point, and I'm delighted to hear your response to that. Let's go back to something that took place recently with what just happened in New York, where an individual that hates white people, it's very, very clear, and they're shrouding it on CNN, the Communist Network News. He hated white people, and as a result of that, mm-hmm. his goal and intent was to terrorize those in the subway, and I think he shot 33 times, his gun jammed, and had someone on CNN or HLN News that said that it was obvious he wasn't trying to kill people. He was just trying to terrorize and frighten people. But it's because of a racial divide, because of his hatred for white people, that his mindset was, I'm going to terrorize those on the subway. Now, mm-hmm. with that major crime taking place in New York, and it's not just a racial issue, those major crimes that's taking place in Delaware, they're taking place in Chicago, taking place in San Francisco, it's taking place across the nation in the major cities that's headed by Democrats. How do you respond to that, and what is your thoughts in relationship to governance in the state of Florida to prevent that?
This is all back to their agenda. It was a black man that did what he did, but you notice in the news media, they're just describing him as just a male, a certain age. They're not really disclosing the fact that he was all on social media months and years leading up to this, talking about his hatred for white people and how they need to leave this earth and how they should be wiped out. And he goes on and on with various threats toward white people. And so obviously if the tables were reversed, it would be a whole racial controversy. It would be a whole racial divide. We will be talking about, how it's just been racist, and they're probably bringing up stories about slavery and so on and so forth. But we're barely hearing about the story. It's not running rampant like it would be if the tables were reversed. I think it's just another testament to how New York City has been ran. They've been ran top to bottom, Democrats. they are the ones that have said, you know, we're going to cause there to be an abortion all the way up until 9 months old. This is just something that the enemy is basically just taking advantage of the situation. He's taking advantage of the evil and the degradation and just the narratives and ideologies that have been occurring coming straight out of New York. And so I'm so thankful that it wasn't as so many casualties in this particular case, but it's a wake up call to us, because, you know, when you're not having things geared toward doing the things correctly and doing things according to the word, there are penalties, there are consequences, and things just like what we saw in Brooklyn is occurring daily. They're just not making the news, but they're occurring daily.
Absolutely. There's a time that we take a stand for truth. There's a time that we take a stand against the enemy, as you have said so well. And I believe it's time that we have people with the ethics and the values and the morals that you have and the stand that you have, that we see them in office. Lassiter, take a moment. Explain to our listeners how they can help you, what they can do to see you through to fruition with a successful election. What can they do to assist in your campaign? Give us some contact information, and you're speaking to our audience now for you inviting them to participate.
Sure, absolutely. So you can go to LaSierraMaslin.com. That's La Sierra Maslin. That's L-A, C as in Charlie, I-A-R-A, M-A, S as in Sam, L-I, N as in November, E as in Echo, .com. You can donate there electronically, whatever the dollar amount, whatever, you know, you're feeling led to do. You can also mail checks to P.O. Box 12497, Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. Again, that's P.O. Box 12497, Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. I appreciate any donations, any support to help me with this campaign. Any, if you want to reach me as well, just to volunteer, help me knock on some doors, and whatever it is that we're going to be doing starting May, I would appreciate any effort, any support. And then likewise, please send your prayers toward me and my volunteers to just have us just be able to allow to witness to folks, kind of give folks some understanding of what the times that we're in, because what we're seeing a lot is brainwashing. Folks are really brainwashed during this time. And so we just send your prayers up. And then please, again, as I mentioned, please donate to the cause. Any dollar amount will help us.
Amen. Lassiter, our time is just about out. But without calling your opponent's name, tell us why our listeners should vote for you and not for the opponent.
Sure. So my opponent is currently a Democrat. Please, I would say, just with the party affiliation, you already can, you know, understand what the difference would be. But obviously, my stance is with my God and my God alone. I really believe that he has called me to this role, and I know that I'm going to see it through and do just what he has asked me to do, which is to take a stand, to be the wall that will cause things to go back where our nation will be blessed. For the word of God says, blessed is the nation who God is the Lord. So I want to make sure that I vote and create laws that will be pleasing unto him, and then that will serve his people that they may rejoice.
Amen. Lassiter, it's been a blessing talking to you today. We'll continue to pray for your candidacy. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.